good evening. I hope everybody's had a good week so far. Let's stand as we take our hymn books, turn to hymn number 740. Joy Unspeakable, hymn number 740.
I have found His grace is all complete. He supplieth every need. While I sit and learn at Jesus' feet, I am free, yes, free indeed. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full.
You may be seated. Brother Dave, appreciate it so very, very much. We have cards here tonight. If you'd like a card, let me see. They're written to Tom and Fran, if you'd like to do that. And Stephen Van Reversway. I do not know that name. And to Marshall Vance. Marshall's doing good. His name's on the prayer list, but he's doing good. Marshall's diabetic. And he hadn't eaten since Saturday night, and so Sunday morning, by the time church was over, it just hit him. It hit him, and I encouraged them, and they went ahead and took him down to the hospital, but they sent him home pretty quickly and got everything balanced out with the sugar and everything balanced out, so he's doing okay. And if you'd like to get one of these cards, right, just encourage hearts. I know they'll appreciate that. I'll put them down here in just a moment. Anybody that did not get a prayer list as you came in, raise your hand, and that'll be fine. And Brother Jim, there's some right here on the front table. If you want to get some, start right back the middle aisle there with them. Seems like a lot of people were missed. Let's see. And okay, I have a number of folks right down here at the front in this aisle right over here. Okay, all the way back. Thank you, Dale. And Brother Jim, whenever you finish there, way toward the back, the beavers back there. Okay. Got some special things tonight. You see this special family coming in right here. Home for a few weeks from Japan, and good to have the Kinoshita family here with us, and you're going to hear from them in a little while, and that'll be a very special thing for us tonight. We thank God for what He's doing for City Church there in Tokyo, and Pray for our president, all of our government officials. I was disappointed that Daniel Webster was just run over by the machine that elected Paul Ryan. But I trust and pray that everything will work out good on that, although I'm afraid it's going to be business as usual in D.C. and in the House of Representatives. I'm afraid it's going to continue on just the way it was. But whatever, we'll just trust the Lord with that. And I did write a text message to Brother Webster, encouraging his heart and telling him I'm proud of him and appreciate what he's done, the stand he takes, and all of those things. But be much in prayer for the things that are going on right now. It seems as if with everything that has happened, we just have given the government officials in Washington a blank check for the next 2 years. Just a blank check. Just spend all the money you want to. We'll just keep the presses running and keep it going. And that's crazy, but nevertheless, please pray for that. Pray for peace in the Middle East. Pray for the land of Israel. Some of us are leaving in just a little over a month to go over there. I talked to Brother Wertheim. I say Brother Wertheim. I'd like to be sure that he was a brother, but to Menachem, and he said, I know what you're hearing over there, but he said, really, everything's in pretty good shape here. And it's the strangest thing in the world. They can kill, overnight, 10 people can be killed in New York City, and the thing that hits the headlines is that some obscure city in Israel, somebody got stabbed. It's the strangest thing how the news does that. But anyway, elections next year. Of course, we're having elections this year in a few weeks, but pray for the elections next year. Brother Hodges, God bless his heart. He had another brother pass away this week. Olson passed away Tuesday. He was 89, served a missionary in Japan. He served in Japan for 40 years, Nathan. He served in Japan. I don't know whether you ever heard of him or not. Olson Hodges. Olson Hodges. And I don't know where he served, and that's very reasonable that you would not know him. But 89 years old. Sharon Crawford is doing well. She's had surgery, and they did a couple of things while they did surgery today, but I was talking to Jan just earlier, and she told me that she's doing well. Already talking about wanting to get home. It's amazing. If you take me to the hospital, I'm just going to stay as long as they keep me. Let them feed me and wait on me and take care of me and all that kind of stuff. You know, I just stay as long as they let me stay there. But pray for Sharon. Thank the Lord. We thought she was not going to have a surgery, but she did. And I got by there last evening before the surgery today. Naomi is still in the hospital in Sanford, unless she has come home in the last little while, and I have not. She is home. She is home. She was doing so much better. And it's just so encouraging to her. It seems like something happened, and she's just starting to be better. And that's good. And Judy, Brother LG's wife, continue to pray for this situation with her. They're doing the CAT scan, and so be much in prayer for that. Conrad has been in Kansas City, I believe you said, Gina, is that right? In Kansas City this week in training with FCA, and while he was there, his father passed away. And so he'll be coming in tomorrow. He'll be coming in tomorrow and having to deal with that. So do me much in prayer for Conrad, and the Lord will give him safety and speak to the family in this time. Of course, there's about Marshall and Helene. Calabro is still having health problems. I'm not sure that I know what all this is, Sharon, but this is a immuno-IV therapy, something like that, that they're going to do along with pencil proton radiation. And I'm not sure all about what that is, but dealing with very very serious situation there with Helene, and so please be praying for her. Now, this is the Van Ravensway son, the next thing there, and there is a note here. If you would like to write to Stephen, his son Stephen is having dealing with cancer, and there's a card here if you'd write to them. Some of you that have had cancer or dealing with cancer will be able to write and encourage them in that. Craig Libby's mother having difficulty. You have it there. Doctor punctured a main artery while doing a heart cath. Can you imagine that? And Stacy's father is still having serious problems. He's back in the hospital. Pray for Tom and Fran. Please hold them up before the Lord. And Stephen Williams' father is doing better, but Stephen told me Sunday, he said he's just got to quit smoking. Some of these guys have been smoking for all their lives, and it's just so difficult. Bob's back at home, Bob Williams. And pray for these that are continue to be on our prayer list here at the bottom, and I hope you'll do that. And interestingly enough, our missionaries of the week, Nathan, you and your family are on that list tonight, and you're here with us. I don't think that was planned. It just worked like that. And then the Jared Kleeman family serving in the United Kingdom. The Lord is blessing their ministry there in a good way. Heard from them this week. People in the nursing homes there, hope you'll pray for them. And then the folks in the armed forces. Our last Thursday evening was for Orange City Police Department, 427. We rounded that up to 450 that we'll give to the police department for their fundraising this year. And that'll be a good thing. How many of you have requests on your heart, burdens on your heart tonight? I know most all of us do. I'm glad that Becky and I had the opportunity. Those of you here Sunday night knew that we took off. And we took off Sunday after I finished with Voices of Victory practice. And we took off and went to see the new grandbaby. And he's a keeper. He just really is. He's a keeper. And he's all right. And we were very thrilled about that and happy about that. And of course, Adam and Jessica are happy about that. There was a little infection he had around his navel, but that cleared up and the rash cleared up and all those things. And they went home yesterday afternoon and thrilled to death and did this FaceTime thing where you see the picture, you know, on the phone. And boy, he was having at it. I don't think he was happy to be home at all. He wanted to go back to the hospital. He was letting it go. And we hadn't heard him cry. And by the time we were up there, but we drove up and spent the night on the road on Sunday night and then went on in on Monday and spent some time with him on Monday night and Tuesday morning and then Tuesday afternoon drove back home. And kind of a quick trip, but at least we got to see him as he was newborn. And we were thrilled about that and thank the Lord for that and how well he's doing. Good to have Brother Jeff Prangle here with us tonight. I don't keep wanting to put an R in that. It's Pangle. Brother Jeff, come platform, if you will. He's a pastor up in Chula, Georgia. Now, that's near Tifton, right? Not too far from Tifton, right off I-75, but in town visiting with us and knowing each other, though not really close, knowing each other for a long time, served in a church in Atlanta, and thank God for him, and thank God for him being able to be here with us tonight. And one of his dear friends is Don Strange at Winkler Road. And so that's where these folks have just come from today. They left there about 1 o'clock today to come up and be with us. And so we're glad that Brother Jeff is here with us tonight. I want him to lead us in prayer and pray one for another. Pray one for another. Hold each other up before the Lord. I want you to pray tonight also for Mark, who's traveling. He's been to Pensacola to get some things this week. And then they've left me by myself tonight, but I'm glad to have Brother David here. And the folks in the Children's Music Academy, and they've got everything under control over in the youth department. That's one thing I don't worry about. I don't worry much about the youth department. They're pretty much in control. They are right in place and take care of that. Aaron is preaching at Embry-Riddle. I think Embry-Riddle tonight, and the FCA meeting over there. And he was talking with me about a young lady he led to the Lord a few weeks ago and about trying to get her baptized. And she's wanting to talk with him tonight, so pray much about that. Brother Jeff, come lead us in prayer. Thank you so much for being here with us, my brother.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessing of being in your house this evening. I thank you especially for this place that we can come together tonight. Lord, I thank you especially for your presence here. And I pray for all the needs that have been mentioned tonight. Lord, there have been many, and Lord, certainly many not mentioned. And I'm glad you're able to meet every need of every heart. We thank you for that, and we ask you, Lord, to take care of each of these according to your will. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless this service tonight. I pray you'd be with the pastor, Lord, touch him as he preaches, blessing everything that's done. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless the ministry of this church. And I ask you, Lord, many souls to be saved through the ministry here. Many people come to know you as Lord and Savior. Have your way in all that's done, and I pray Jesus would be lifted up and given all the glory. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's remain seated as we turn in our hymn books to hymn number 575, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, hymn number 575.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Nathan to come at this time, if you will, and I don't know, I want you to introduce your wife and the kids. The kids have grown up so much in these years since we've seen you, but we're delighted to have you here tonight, and I want you to share with us a little bit about what's going on in Tokyo. Amen. God bless you.
It's a privilege to be back here and to see you again, and my kids are really grown, your church grown. Amen. I really wanted to introduce again, there is my dear wife, Ruth. As you know, that 50 years ago, Dr. Don Sis came to Japan as a pioneer missionary. The first meeting, and my father-in-law, her dad, got saved. And he became a pastor, still now. And also the Caris. And also Christopher. And Sarah. Amen. I want to show you a DVD first. After that, I want to share that little burden. Thank you.
Comparable to the combined populations of California, Nevada, and Arizona living in a landmass the size of Rhode Island. The increasing population has led to a very high cost of living and has made Tokyo the world's most expensive city in which to live. The work ethic and integrity of the Japanese people have made this country one of the world's leading industrial cities. Sadly, however, their emphasis on financial prosperity has led to a pervading spirit of materialism which has fragmented families and left them in spiritual darkness. The two main religions in Japan are Buddhism, a religion based on right conduct wisdom and meditation, and Shintoism, the worship of nature spirits and ancestors. Throughout the city, it is not uncommon to see people paying their respects at public temples and shrines. Christianity is practically unheard of in this country. Only 0.3% of the population profess to be born-again Christians, and the average attendance of Christian churches is about 30 people. And there is currently no independent Baptist church in Tokyo City. The high cost of living and spiritual indifference of the people of Tokyo make biblical missionary work a daunting task. However, Genesis 18:14 asks, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" The 40 million souls that live in Tokyo are souls that Jesus died for. They are souls that God wants us to reach. 2 Peter 3:9 tells us that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It is for this cause that God has called Brother Nathan Kinoshita and his family to start soul-winning independent Baptist churches in the city of Tokyo, Japan.
To say thank you very much. You guys pray, you guys support. That reason we could start City Baptist Church, Fundamental Independent Baptist Church, downtown Tokyo. You saw that a lot of people are attending and the baptism service because you pray. Many people got saved. Still, millions and millions of people never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe He died for me. Amen. He died for you. Yes. He died for all people. Yes. Continue to pray for us. When I stopped the church office, I found a Christmas invitation card. I'm going to fly back to Japan November 6th from Orlando Airport. When we arrive in Japan, we're going to start Christmas evangelism. Christmas is a big thing, big service. I hope to see the many newcomers, new seekers, come to the church in downtown Tokyo. I will preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Continue to pray for us. Thank you, Pastor.
Nathan. I find that so strange that Christmas is such a big deal in Japan. And so few Christians. And it's how does that work? Why do they celebrate Christmas?
There is no reason. People is the real very liberal people, just like the States. You know, people love to go to Halloween. You know, even they celebrate Christmas. That's kind of strange things happen in Japan. People go to the Buddhism temple very New Year, but before that, especially young generation, they wanted to celebrate just party things.
Just anything. Huh?
Yeah, just party things.
Isn't that interesting?
That's a good time to share the gospel of Jesus Christ.
It is. It's a good time to tell them what it's all about. Anybody have a question? Did I hear you 24 million?
Mm-hmm. 24 million? 35 million people.
In Tokyo?
Mm-hmm.
That's just overwhelming to me. I can't think like that. And I know that you must pray for these people. I thank God for what's being done. I thank God for what they're doing. But to see those masses of people has to be just overwhelming. And I know you can't let that overwhelm you. You can't become discouraged with that. But anybody have a question? Anybody? Anyway, 210. Thank you. God bless you, my friend. God bless you. Wow. I hope you will pray much for these folks. I trust you'll do that, and that God will bless them and help them. And we appreciate you representing us in the great city of Tokyo. And what a blessing to know that you're there. And it's always good to hear from you and the good things God's doing. I got the idea from watching those slides that they'll just baptize anywhere. I mean, baptize in the ocean, they'll baptize in a stream, they baptize in a pool, wherever they can find enough water. It's like, here is water, what does hinder me to be baptized? And so that's a wonderful thing, great thing. I want to say we're glad to see Ray Buchheit. I don't see him right now, but it's good to see him right back here. Good. He's been having some very, very difficult days physically, and so I hope you'll pray much for him. Sarah Cole checked herself into the hospital a while ago just for abdominal pain, and so do pray for her that God will bless and help on her behalf. Sarah, along with some others, and Brittany Salagi, is kind of heading this thing up, and she's got, let's see who she's got. She's got Lindsay Tripp, and she's got Brenda Wilkerson. And she's got Andy Prescott, and some others. And what they want to do is they want to take the church van and start picking up some kids for Sunday school and church. And I think that's a good thing, don't you? They've already got a little pocket they've been working on over in Lake Helen. And you teach a class over there to children, a children's class over there, and so they want to bring them into church. Do y'all think that'd be a good thing to do? All right, okay. We won't take a formal vote. Yes, we will. Does someone say, I make a motion that we let them start the bus ministry? Dr. Twilliger, God bless your heart. Dave, second the motion, and others seconding that motion. All those in favor Let it be known by putting a $100 bill in the offering. Okay. No. Okay. All those in favor, let it be known by saying amen.
Amen.
Is that the best amen we can get out of that? All those in favor, say amen.
Amen.
Any opposed? All right. And so pray for these folks. And I don't know that we have to do that as far as starting a ministry like that. I don't think we ever took a vote on Sunday school. I don't think we ever took a vote on the choir. But anyway, I think it's good for you to know about what's going on in that way and to you to give your voice as being behind that and praying for them. And so I hope you do that, and who knows where it will go from this, but we thank the Lord for it. All right. Do we have other folks that are visiting with us tonight? We've met the Kinoshitas tonight, and we've met Brother Jeff tonight. Okay, introduce. Marie, you going to introduce this young lady? All right, wonderful. Good to have you. Thank you for coming tonight. Anyone else visiting with us tonight? All right. Everything's all right in my Father's house where there's joy, joy, joy. You got it? Let's stand together. Everything's all right in my Father's house, in my Father's house, in my Father's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house where there's joy, joy, joy. All right, now here's what I want this side over here, from here, from middle out, over this way. There we do. Everything's all right. I want you to do up, up, up. You got that? And then at the end you do joy, peace, and happiness, joy, peace, and happiness, joy, peace, and happy, happiness. All right, let's see if you got it. If you don't do good, I'm going to give it to this side over here. All right, here we go. Everything's all right. No, y'all didn't do that very well. You have a second chance. David, where are you? You got to lead this side. You got to help them a little bit, okay? All right, come on, let's sing them down, okay? Here we go. Everything's all right in my Father's house, in my Father's house, in my Father's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house where there's joy, joy, joy. Can y'all do that part better? Let's do it. Come on. Give it a try. We're going to do it better. Okay? All right. You go with them. Here we go. Everything's all right up, up, up in my Father's house. In my Father's house. In my Father's house. Everything's all right up, up, up in my Father's house. Where there's joy, peace, and happiness. Joy, peace, and happiness. Joy, peace, and happy happiness. I know what you need. You need a microphone. Oh, is that right? Oh, well, you never can tell what they're going to do. All right. Well, good, good. Shake hands. Greet one another. Welcome each other to the service. Enjoy each other a little while. I thought about it and forgot about it. Jesus is the way to my Father's house, to my Father's house, to my Father's house. Jesus is the way to my Father's house. It's joy, joy, joy. Come and go with me to my Father's house, to my Father's house, to my Father's house. Come and go with me to my Father's house where there's joy, joy, joy.
All right, thank you. You may be seated.
What happens Saturday night? Time change. And what do you do with the clocks? Ignore them. It's okay. Just ignore them. You'll be here early.
Okay. But in fall, you fall back. And so set your clock back Saturday sometime. Now, Voices of Victory, we're going to Texas. We're leaving Saturday morning early. So Saturday, whenever we arrive in Texas, we will move our clocks back to Central Time. That'll be an hour. Then Saturday night, we'll move our clocks back another hour for daylight saving time. So we're going to gain 2 hours while we're there. And it's going to be a long night, Saturday night. I am going to ask the hotel if I can just get padlocks and padlock them in their room till they can't get out. But no, they'll be okay. They'll be okay. But I do want you to pray for them. We practiced about 3 hours Sunday afternoon, and I feel a little bit better about it now. I don't know whether they do or not, but I feel a little bit better about it now. And Brother Wallace is excited about them being there, and he's got it all fired up out there, those people out there. Now, that's interesting. He plays, I think, from what he tells me, every service, he plays a segment of Majestic Sweetness Sits Enthroned Upon the Savior's Brow. He loves that song. Whenever we recorded that song, they do a lot of stuff in a studio, you know, make you sound better. There were 16 voices. We recorded it 4 times, and they put all 4 of those recordings together, which makes 64 voices. That's a pretty good-sized group. I told the young people, now, they've been listening to 64 voices recorded in a studio, and you've got to get up there with just you and make it sound like that group of 64. But I think they're up to the challenge. But I hope you'll pray for them, that they'll do a good job. And a lot of the kids, this is going to be the first time flying on an airplane. And a lot of them are scared to death. And it's all right. It's all right. And so we'll have a good time together, and they will do a good job. And if you want to watch them, they sing Sunday morning in the service. And so I think they're doing 4 songs in the morning service on Sunday morning. Then in the night service, now this is their anniversary Sunday. So after the morning service, they do what we do. They have lunch for everybody that's there. And then they don't do an afternoon service. They have a night service. And after the night service, they serve everybody a meal after the night service. And so I don't know how that all works out, but I'm going to find out. And the concert will be Sunday night. And so they'll sing a full concert. This is early in the year for this group to do a full concert, and you know that. But they've worked on it hard, and we've prepared, and I think we're ready to go, and we'll see how it does. But if you get home from church Sunday night and you want to look at Temple Baptist Church, templebc.org, templebc.org. You can tune in on live stream, and you'll be able to see most of the concert, because it'll start at 6 o'clock out there, which will be 7 o'clock here. And depending on how long Brother Mark preaches, you'll be home before too long after that. Okay? All right. So pray the Lord will give us a good time, and I know the Lord will bless you here, and pray for a good day. And if you haven't signed up yet for your job and journey, right out the doors at the back, they're ready to have you sign up for whatever area you'd like to serve in. But I can look over this crowd already, and I can tell everybody in here is already signed up. And so that's good. No, not everybody signed up? Okay, we need to get that taken care of. Need about 400 of you. About 400 of you signed up. And that's more than here tonight. But we'll get the rest of them Sunday morning. I thought we got a lot last Sunday. And so that'll be good. Ushers, come forward if you will. Let's give our offering tonight to the Kinoshita family, okay? And I don't have a lot of money tonight, but I have a little bit. I'll just give what I have. Dale, How about pray for us? Ask God's blessing on this offering tonight.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your main blessing for us. We thank you for the sheep's hand of blessing with your testimony, blessing tonight, the work of your secure and provide. Blessing there, Father, that you heard the work of all the new people, blessing all the fire.
Now, before Pastor comes with the message this evening, we have a special by Brittany Solagi. And it looks like she recruited someone with her. Jordan Westbrook and Alec Marinchenko is going to play guitar for him.
Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within. Upward I look and see him there who made an end to all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me, to look on him and pardon me. Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One with himself I cannot die. My soul is purchased by his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God, with Christ my Savior and my God. One with himself I cannot die. My soul is purchased by his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God, with Christ my Savior and my God.
All right. Thank you so much, Alec. Thank you, ladies. Appreciate that. Open your Bible, if you will, to the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And tonight we will break in at verse 13. I'm going to read the remainder of the chapter, verses 13 through 17. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. What a good thing it is to come aside in the middle of the week, gather together and see one another, sing God's songs and fellowship a little bit and hear the Word of God and just enjoy being together and to think what's going on in the other places over with the young people tonight. What a wonderful time they have together in the Word of God. And then they just enjoy being together also. And Aaron sent me a picture two or three weeks ago. Some of you all must have been in there because it was an hour after church was over. It was an hour after the Thursday night service was over. And the kids were still over there. And it wasn't just the teenagers. There were little kids in there with them. There were adults in there with them. And they were over there, just all of them, talking and laughing and carrying on and just having a good time together. And he finally told them, he said, "Y'all stay as long as you want to. I'm going home. Somebody lock up." And I like that. And then over here in Children's Music Academy, and the kids are in there playing the guitar, playing clarinets, playing harps. David, I don't know where y'all got those harps. Where's he gone? I've lost him. He went out to see about the harps, didn't he? But the Rogers family somehow found these harps a number of years ago and had them in their attic. Whenever I started talking about it, one of them said, "We got some harps." And they got these harps about so tall, 3 feet tall, something like that. And there's 10 kids in there learning to play the harp. That is absolutely fantastic. Amen. Fantastic. And anyway, we're bound to give thanks always to God for you. We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God even our Father, which hath loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Now isn't that a dramatic change from what we've been looking at in the Antichrist in the verses just before? Did you ever, I know you have, at least I know I have, had a bad dream, and it was so real that it just seemed like this is just the way it is. This is where I am. And then you wake up and you realize, that's not where I am at all. I'm here safe at home and in my bed. Wow. And you just, you're relieved by that. Sometimes Dr. John Phillips tells a story about going to this wax museum there in London. And he went to the wax museum. And he went through there. He said he saw kings, English kings, that had reigned. And he said saw American presidents and so that were in the museum there. And then they had a downstairs part of it. And in the downstairs part of it, it was like a dungeon. And it was dimly lit. And he said, you walk through there and you encounter all of these villains and mass murderers, and they have all of this type of thing down in there and all kinds of horrible things. And he said, as I walked through there in the darkness, he said, I thought, I've got to look at my watch and make sure I get out of here. I don't want to get locked in here overnight. And he said, it was just like you were in that world and it was all around you. And he said, it was like, that was reality. And he said, then you come to the door and you open the door and you go outside and the sun is shining and the birds are singing and the trees are around and there are cars going back and forth. And you say, oh, it's not like that at all. That's kind of like what we come to here. Now, there are things like that, and the tribulation period and the coming of one who's working is after Satan, with all deceivableness and unrighteousness, them that perish, mystery of iniquity is working, the man of sin is revealed, all of these things, and you just are kind of overwhelmed with that, and then, oh, verse 13, we're bound to give thanks always to God for you. It's just a complete change of tone. It's a complete change of everything. And all of a sudden we realize this is who we are. We are brethren, beloved of the Lord, chosen by God, sanctified by the Spirit, called by the gospel, unto the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a difference that is. Now, I don't know whether you really appreciate that and understand that or not, but boy, it should make an impact on your life. Having dealt with the coming of Christ to earth, again, the descriptions of the Antichrist, he comes down to this edifying section about how we should live in light of the second coming. Whenever he says we're bound to do this, it's just like in verse 3 of chapter 1. In verse 3 of chapter 1 of 2 Thessalonians, it says, we're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet or fitting. And so he goes down through these verses, the 12 verses of chapter 1 and 12 verses of chapter 2, and having come to the end of those last, in the middle of chapter 2, having come to the end of those verses about the Antichrist, it's like he goes back and says, okay, boom, reset button, fresh start, begin all over. Oh, I'm bound to thank God for you. It's right back where he was at the beginning of chapter 1. And he's starting all over again now. And whenever we realize that we are brethren, beloved of the Lord. Now, Paul loved them. He loved them. He felt a very close kinship to the people at Thessalonica. This is where he turned and went and began to go to the west. And he came to Thessalonica. And though he was mistreated there, the people who trusted Christ as their Savior and who formed the beginnings of that church there at Thessalonica, he's such a closeness to that and loves them so much. Even though he did not get to spend much time with them, there was a bond of love in the Lord Jesus Christ that was there. But he doesn't say here that's because I love you here in chapter 2, verse 13. He said, you are loved of God. You are beloved of God. I often say it like this, God loves everyone. But his kids are beloved. I mean, the family is beloved. God loves the world, but we are the beloved ones. And what a wonderful truth that is. When we think about the one who loves us and how unworthy we are of his love and of his grace, it makes his grace even more amazing when you consider our unworthiness. Now, we're chosen from the beginning. Now, that's not just the beginning of the gospel. It's not the beginning of the ministry of Jesus Christ, or it's not the beginning of Paul's ministry, or it's not the beginning of the church in Thessalonica. It's from the beginning. You say, well, what beginning is he talking about? Well, he may be talking about the Garden of Eden. I don't know. But if he's talking about the beginning, he's talking about eternity, really. We're chosen from the beginning. Can you imagine? Before we ever had sense enough to love God, God loved us. Before we had sense enough to realize he loved us, he loved us. We left here on Sunday afternoon. We drove up Statesboro, Georgia, and spent the night. Drove up through the country and got into Athens, Georgia. Hard as we could go, run straight to the hospital. See that little baby. Now, whenever we got in that room with that little baby, little Wesley Orland. They call him Wesley. I call him Little O. Whenever we walked in there, he looked at me and he said, Papa, I know you love me. You'd drive all the way through the evening, through the night, spend the night on the road, and then drive on up here just to see me. I know you love me. I know you love me. Be here for a few hours, turn around, drive home, go all that way, old man that you are, and do that. I know you must love me to do that. Did he say that? Well, of course he didn't say that. He didn't have any idea about that. But he's loved of me. Though he doesn't know to love me yet, I love him. Becky loves him. And if somebody had come in that room try to do him harm, I'd have taken a bullet for him. Why? Because he loves me. Because I love him. Do you see it? Can you see that? He loves us. Before we ever knew of him, before we ever were conscious of him, before we ever thought of loving him, he loves us. And we love him, John says, because he first loved us. And certainly he first loved us. Beloved of God. Chosen from the beginning. It's a wonderful truth. Now there are three elements in here that relate to the way... Let me say it this way. This kind of a... confusing little phrase, but let me say it this way. There are three elements in here that relate to the way God chose to choose us. The way he chose to choose us. Now look what it says here in verse 13 and 14. Chosen from the beginning, chosen you to salvation. Through. Now this is the way it relates to that. Through sanctification of the Spirit, belief of the truth, wherein to he called you by our gospel. So there are three things here. First of all, the first thing really that happened in that is the last thing that's named here. He called you by our gospel. This is the matter we must always be about. And of course, right here in view of the second coming of Christ, it's a matter we must always be about. It's a thing we must be about. I was thinking as Nathan was talking about going back to Tokyo and about them firing up and getting ready to have a ministry there in Tokyo for Christmas. I thought, we're getting ready too. We're getting ready in Orange City. Had a pastor call me today. He said, I want to talk to you a little bit about the thing that you do for Christmas. And he wanted to talk about they're getting fired up for their Christmas thing. And who was I with this? Oh, Adam. Adam at their church up in Georgia. Adam was telling me about that the church up there, they're going to do a live nativity. I thought, yeah, that's where we started. That's where we started. They're going to do a live nativity this year, and the people are all excited about it. And then he's going to try to get a group of them come down here either this year or next year and look at Journey Through Christmas and get them, get their vision, let their vision grow and get a little bigger. But this was what we must be about. Bus ministry. Get that thing started. I told Brittany, I said, Brittany, talk to me about it. Fact is, she bugged me about it. But I said, now listen, I said, you're going to Romania. You're going to Romania to work with orphans, right? Yeah, what's that got to do with it? I said, I don't want you to birth something here that I've got to raise. I don't want to raise your orphan. And so she said, okay, I got some people, and they're okay. They can do it without me. I said, all right, very good. That'll be good. And I like that. But that's what we must be about. Getting the gospel to people. He calls by the gospel. He said he called you by our gospel. Getting out the gospel in obedience to the command of the risen Lord. And then in that, I'm not sure that we can order these in a particular 1, 2, 3 in a strict order. But all these three things are involved in it. You're sanctified by the Spirit. Now this sanctification is not talking about the sanctification we're talking about, being separated unto God in holiness. It's talking about the Holy Spirit separated us for His particular work. He set us apart for His particular work of conviction, to where He spoke to our hearts, and He spoke to us in tones of tender love, magnifying the Lord Jesus Christ. And through the gospel, the Holy Spirit used the gospel to speak to our hearts, to show us our need of a Savior. And He also spoke to us in conviction of sins. And somehow we desired to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. And then the thing happened, which is at the end of verse 13. At the end of verse 13, it talks about that we came to belief of the truth. Belief of the truth. Now look back up a couple of verses in verse 12. In verse 12, that they might all be damned who believed not the truth. And then in verse 13, it talks about us, chosen to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And that's how it all works together, that God brings us to salvation. The gospel is given. The Holy Spirit works. God hath chosen us, and He chose to choose us in this way. Now, God could do whatever He wanted to do, and He'd be right in doing it, because God does not do wrong, and you can be sure that what He does is right. And this is the way He has chosen to do it. The gospel is given. God doesn't just walk through an audience and put dots on us like we go out here. And a lot of people were concerned recently, back before Anniversary Sunday. They were concerned because they saw yellow tape around the trees. What are we going to do with those trees? What are we going to do with those trees? Well, we're going to trim them up. That's what we're going to do. And raise the canopy a little bit. Raise the canopy a little bit. And we did that. And it looks good after having done that. Whenever we were bringing troops home. I don't know whether, Barbara, it was from Afghanistan or Iraq or where, but we put ribbons out. We put ribbons out, big yellow ribbons out on the on the oak trees down Orange Avenue. And people were calling City Hall because they thought we had marked them to be cut down. And the city manager called me and said, y'all plan to cut down some trees? I said, no, why? He said, well, people are concerned. You got ribbons around them out there. I said, well, no, we're just welcoming troops home that have been overseas fighting. Glad to have them back home. So, okay, I'll know what answer to give then. That's interesting how people think and what they look for. But this is the way God chose to do it. God chose to do it. He called you by His gospel. You're set apart, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit chose you out to work on you when you heard the gospel. Now, I don't understand all about all this. And I wonder about some of the people who tell me they do understand all about it. I really don't think they do. And then we come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit gives us new birth, and we're born in Jesus Christ. And then the Holy Spirit begins that process in our lives of making us Christ-like. And we've been predestinated to be like Him. We've been predestinated to be made like Jesus. And we ought to be coming more like that all the time. But one of these days, we're going to be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And we'll be just like Jesus, and that process will be completed. And until that time, we keep on moving from glory to glory, from one glorious experience to another glorious experience. And here in verse 14, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is glorified in all of that. He is glorified when the gospel is preached. And I'm not just talking about from here. I'm talking about one-on-one to a congregation of one or a congregation of two. He is glorified when the gospel is preached. He is glorified when a person is sensitive to the Holy Spirit. He is glorified when that person trusts Christ as Savior. And He is glorified as the process of sanctification begins to work and continues in the life of an individual till they become more and more like Jesus Christ in their actions and in their attitudes and the way they think. They think like God. They think like He thinks. What a wonderful truth. God's glorified in that. And as He is glorified in that, watch this. As He is glorified in that, He turns that around and puts it back in us. He puts His glory in us. It's just a marvelous thing that God does. And it's just all together, working together, that we're in Him and He is in us, and He is glorified in us, and we are glorified in Him, and we give Him glory, and He gives us glory. We're chosen Him for the foundation of the world. He calls us by the gospel. We're set apart by the Spirit for a special work of conviction. And then we believe the truth. And whenever we believe the truth, it all comes to completion in that. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. Now, in all of this He's given right here, He's gone through chapter 2, and He's gone through all these characteristics of the man of sin, of the Antichrist. And then He comes to this brethren, beloved of God, and He's talking about this, and He talks about what God does in our sanctification by the Spirit, called by the gospel, belief of the truth, and the glory that is given to God and God gives to us. Therefore. Now, it's pretty obvious what it's there for. Therefore, because of that, brethren, stand fast. Don't be moved about by every wind of doctrine. Stand fast in that calling. Stand fast in that work of the Holy Spirit. Don't be moved from that. Don't be pushed around. How does that happen? You find the foundation that is there, and you plant your feet firmly on the Word of God. This is what he says. He says, therefore, brothers, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word, that's by his preaching, or by our epistle, which is 1 Thessalonians, or this, 2 Thessalonians, and not that that has been written to them that purported to be from Paul, but was indeed not from him, and he has corrected that in this book. Now, we live in a day whenever tradition is pretty much frowned upon. Now, I know that the tradition that's spoken of here is not a tradition of wearing of apparel, and it's not a tradition of what Jewish people wore. And that, I know it's not that tradition, and I know it's not a tradition of not eating an egg from a hen that was laid an egg on Saturday. Don't eat that if the egg was laid on Saturday. I know it's not that kind of tradition. And all the traditions that the rabbis established and all those things. I know it's the Bible doctrines and Bible precepts. But I'm going to tell you something. There are some traditions that we ought to hold to. We have a generation in this day, and this is a good place as any to say it again, that mocks tradition. And they reject tradition, not because the traditions are bad, but simply because it's a tradition. Now, that's not a legitimate reason to reject anything, any more than it is a legitimate reason to accept something because it's new. You don't reject something because it's old, and you don't hold to it because it's old. Now, some people tend to do that simply because it's old. But you don't reject it either because it's old. Some people reject something because it's new. Some people accept something new no matter what it is. Doesn't make any difference. If it's new, it's got to be good. Well, that's silly. Everything rises or falls on its own merit. And so don't reject tradition just because it's tradition. Whenever you hear some people make a quote or they quote a saying like, keep the number one thing number one, keep the main thing the main thing. That's what it is. Keep the main thing the main thing. You know why that's said and been said so much and over and over and over? It's because it's true. It's true. I think of, whenever you talk to some people, you would think, and can it be, the song, and can it be, you would think it was written in my generation. Because they say to me, well, you had your songs, and can it be, there's power in the blood. So that's not my generation, that's 400 years old. We should be careful about cutting away that which brought us where we are. We've done it in this nation. We're in bad shape in this nation because things are being rejected just because that's the way they were done. Now, not everything we've done in the nation has been good. I understand that. I know that. Nobody can defend the things that were done that were wrong in generations past, even though they may have been done in ignorance and with the knowledge and understanding of what they knew at that time. And we look from a different perspective now, and we judge our ancestors from this perspective, and we reject them because they did something that would be rejected now. I'm not saying that what they did was right. I'm just saying that we're going to have some people look back on this generation, and we weren't all that good either. Close my Bible too quick, even though I'm through. But if you look down in chapter 3, in chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians, it speaks again of the traditions, and I don't have it before me right now, and I didn't mark it whenever I was going through here. But anyway, I know what's being talked about. I know it's the precepts and doctrines that are on the Word of God, but there is something about holding to the Old Testament says it like this: the ancient landmarks, the ancient boundaries. There are some things that need to be held to in that. Now, I don't think the only thing that we can sing, the only songs we can sing, are songs that were written 400 years ago. But I don't think the only thing we can sing are songs that have been written in the last 10 years. If we limit ourselves to that, or even the last 50 years, we are depriving ourselves from a great heritage that we have in the Christian church. And we're raising a generation that doesn't know where they came from. If they don't know where they came from, they don't have any direction about where they're going. Therefore, stand fast and hold to the tradition. Grasp and retain the tradition that he says, I've preached to you and I've written to you. And we can apply it to us and to the entirety of this blessed book that we have. Father, I thank you for the time together this evening. I thank you for, loving us. Oh, thank you, Lord. Lord, whenever I think how unlovely we are sometimes, Lord, it amazes me that you would love us. And yet, Father, I must thank you. I thank you for loving me, and I thank you for the great love wherewith you loved us when we were unlovable. Now, Father, I ask you to bless us as we go. Such a list of people to pray for tonight, Lord, and we bring them to you again. And as we go from this place, I pray that our hearts will be moved to remember these in prayer that we prayed for tonight. I thank you for Nathan and his family that are here with us. And Father, I ask your blessing on them and their ministry there in Japan. I pray, Father, that you would do something miraculous. I know, Lord, I know that every time a person gets saved, it's a miracle. I understand that. But Lord, I pray you'll do something miraculous in the establishing of a large, fervent, vibrant testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ in that great city. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. And I hope you'll be faithful and here on Sunday. And don't forget to change your clocks. Change them right now if you want to. The home, change them right now.